Hi, my name is Dr. Singh, neonatologist and assistant professor of pediatrics in Texas Tech and El Paso Children's Hospital. And you're listening to PedPod, a podcast where we bring you up-to-date information on common problems related with health of all children. For our very first PedPod, I would like to welcome Dr. Sam Bellingham, fondly known as Dr. Sam, and Alicia Herrera, who are here to enlighten us about neonatal jaundice and breastfeeding a newborn. First, I would like to welcome Alicia, who is a lactation consultant specialist with international recognition and who, over the period of last 6 years working here in El Paso Children's Hospital, has helped women with babies of all gestation succeed in their endeavor to breastfeed successfully. So, Alicia, what is the most common question that you get to hear?
You know, Dr. Singh, I've been doing this for about 6 years, and in that time, I've heard many questions about breasts and breastfeeding. Some questions women have asked are questions that they seem to be embarrassed by, but I always tell women, nothing embarrasses me. So interestingly, the most common question I've been asked is, do smaller breasts produce less milk? And I always tell them, most women are capable of producing enough milk for their babies, no matter what the size of their breasts are. Many women with very small breasts are able to produce enough milk for their baby.
So do some mothers produce more milk than others?
Different breasts have different storage capacity, and the amount of milk is not dependent on the breast size. It depends on the mammary tissue. Producing enough milk is a common worry for most moms, and yet most moms are able to produce what their baby needs. We know there's a lot of overfeeding happening with the bottle feeding. So while moms may think they aren't producing enough, in reality they are. However, if a mom is having problems with nursing, suspects that her supply is low, she should seek help. A lactation consultant may be able to help.
So the next question comes from my own experience with my wife breastfeeding our two sons. Is breastfeeding supposed to hurt?
Sore nipples. That's a common problem in the early weeks of breastfeeding. But that means that the new mom may need some help with her positioning or her latch. It normally shouldn't hurt. If it does hurt, she needs to get some help.
Yeah, we tried nipple shields, but you're right. Patience and correct latching actually solve the problem for us. So now the next question is about bleeding nipples. Can women still breastfeed?
If a mom has sore, cracked, or bleeding nipples, she can and should breastfeed. A small amount of blood in the milk is not going to hurt the baby. However, cracked nipples could indicate that problems with the latch. Again, a few sessions with a lactation consultant can help. But here, I want to mention this. If bleeding is excessive or persistent, then mom should seek help of a medical provider.
So should a mother stop breastfeeding if she has thrush or mastitis?
As much as she may be tempted to stop nursing, breastfeeding the baby through thrush and mastitis and clogged ducts actually helps. Many times, nursing will help to release the clogs, and with mastitis, you really need the milk flowing to get the infection out and to prevent more clogs. You want to treat the thrush and the mastitis as mom continues nursing. In all cases, you want to heal the breast and find the root of the problem.
Wonderful. So what if a mother doesn't want to breastfeed? Is it okay to just pump?
Some moms that physically don't enjoy the act of breastfeeding or whose babies are very premature or they're ill, they still want to provide breast milk for their babies. They'll want to use a breast pump. It is an individual choice. It's an act of love and commitment either way. Basically, moms know what's best for her and for her baby. If pumping and giving breast milk works, then mom shouldn't feel guilty about doing that. She's providing great nutrition and plenty of love. Sometimes breastfeeding moms will ask me about breastfeeding in public and also about leaking milk while they're in public. A new mom's milk supply gets established. It's not uncommon for them to experience some leakage. Breast pads can help and be your best friend in the beginning until things settle down. Some moms have their breast milk let down just by thinking about their baby or by hearing another baby cry. If that happens, mom can bring her arms up and press them against her breast firmly for a minute or two, and that will stop the milk.
So now the last question, like you mentioned, is about breastfeeding in public. Are there laws protecting a breastfeeding mother?
A mom may feel a little bit self-conscious at first. It's perfectly acceptable to nurse your baby in public. In the United States, breasts are seen and advertised more on a sexual basis. In other countries, breastfeeding is more accepted in public. If you feel uncomfortable, though, you can always use a nursing cover-up. Don't feel pressured to do so, though. Breastfeeding is a natural activity and shouldn't be a cause for shame. In the United States, you have the right, by law, to breastfeed wherever you have the right to be. So breastfeed away.
Yay! So thank you so much, Alicia, for your insight and all the hard work that you do to help mothers succeed in breastfeeding. To all the listeners, if you have any questions related to breastfeeding, feel free to contact Lactation Department in El Paso Children's Hospital and or Miss Alicia Herrera. Thank you, Alicia, once again.
Thank you, Dr. Singh.
Now, here we are going to change topic and welcome Dr. Sam, who is an attending neonatologist and assistant professor of pediatrics in Texas Tech at El Paso Children's Hospital. He's a friend and a colleague. He's here to teach us about jaundice in newborn. Welcome, Dr. Sam. First question that many parents have asked me, and when they hear the word jaundice, is what is jaundice?
Well, thank you, Dr. Singh, for having me here. Jaundice is something that makes a baby's skin and the whites of the eyes look yellow, but it's not easy to see jaundice in all babies. The basic reason is excess of naturally occurring substance called bilirubin. Jaundice affects babies of all races and ethnicities. The best way to tell if your baby has jaundice is actually with the jaundice bilirubin test.
So you mentioned bilirubin. What is bilirubin?
So in very simple terms, bilirubin is a byproduct of normal process of destruction of red blood cells in the baby's blood.
So when should parents be on lookout for developing jaundice in their babies?
So newborn babies are at highest risk of developing jaundice in the first 4 to 5 days of life. And this is a time for a parent to be vigilant. All babies born in our hospital are checked for developing jaundice after birth and before discharging home.
So all babies can get jaundice, but are there some babies that are more likely to develop jaundice?
Yes. The groups at risk are babies who are born preterm before 37 weeks, babies bruised during birth, babies with a brother or sister who has newborn jaundice, babies whose mother are Rh negative and or have type O blood. So babies with Middle Eastern, East Asian and Mediterranean ethnicity. So be sure to talk to your doctor or nurse if your baby has any one of these risks and ask about a jaundice test.
Are there any consequences of jaundice towards the health of the baby that a parent should be worried about?
So like I mentioned, all babies tend to get jaundice in the first few days of life. But if the jaundice level or the bilirubin level goes up too high, then it can affect a child in the long term. Most important consequence of very high jaundice level is that it can hurt a baby's developing brain and cause long-term damage. So to prevent any of that from happening, our hospital system checks jaundice level on all babies born as recommended by the AAP, American Academy of Pediatrics, and all parents need to be vigilant as well.
So can you teach us how is jaundice in newborn managed?
So the goal of jaundice treatment is to quickly and safely reduce the level of bilirubin. Infants with mild jaundice may need no treatment. Infants with higher bilirubin levels or hyperbilirubinemia will require treatment. And most important is providing adequate milk for preventing and treating jaundice because it promotes elimination of the yellow pigment in stools and urine. You will know that your infant is getting enough milk or formula if he or she has at least 6 wet diapers per day, the color of bowel movements changes from dark green to yellow, and he or she seems satisfied after feeding. Phototherapy, which is also called as light therapy, is the most common medical treatment for jaundice in newborns. In most cases, phototherapy is the only treatment required. Treatment with phototherapy involves special blue lights such as the blue LEDs, light-emitting diodes, and is successful for almost all infants. Phototherapy is done in hospital settings, and there are other therapies too available in a hospital setting, but those are for severe jaundice.
So what else can a parent do to prevent jaundice in their babies?
So I would advise to take jaundice seriously and stick to the follow-up plan for appointments and recommended care. Make sure your baby is getting enough to eat. The process of removing waste also removes bilirubin in your baby's blood. If you're breastfeeding, you should nurse the baby at least 8 to 12 times a day for the first few days. This will help you make enough milk for the baby and will help keep the baby's bilirubin level down. So if you're having trouble breastfeeding, ask your doctor, nurse, or Alicia for help.
It's always good to seek help if you're in trouble. So my last question to you is, where can parents get more information about jaundice?
So parents should ask their baby's doctor, and they can also go online to the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control and Prevention website, which gives comprehensive guide to parents on jaundice and breastfeeding related questions. The website is www.cdc.gov.
Thank you, Dr. Sam, for your insight and all the hard work that you do in neonatal intensive care unit here in El Paso Children's Hospital. Neonatal Intensive Care Unit in El Paso Children's Hospital is a Level 4 unit, which is the highest possible designation for a unit in Texas, and where a neonatologist is always available to answer any question related with the health of newborns. I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in for this episode of Pete Pod. You can download and listen to this Pete Pod on iTunes, Texas Tech University's at El Paso's website and El Paso Children's Hospital's website. And we will be back next month with some exciting new topics. Thank you.